that if it had played out differently, history might have been altered. You know, if FDR had been killed, or if another agent had been put in charge instead of J. Edgar Hoover, you know, things could have really happened differently.
This is Shannon
and Kristen, and we're better known as
the Vogel Twins.
Yay!
Woohoo!
This month, we are taking you to Washington, D.C. D.C. has been the headquarters of the CIA since the agency's inception in 1947. The CIA's mission is to collect, analyze, and disseminate intelligence to support national security objectives. Throughout its history, the agency has played a critical role in some of the most significant events of the 20th and 21st centuries, from the Cold War to the War on Terror. While much of the CIA's work is shrouded in secrecy, visitors to Washington, D.C. can explore its history and legacy through museums and memorials, as well as specialized tours led by expert guides. So today, we're thrilled to be joined by Rosanna Minshew, a spy guide, an expert on the history and culture of espionage in Washington, D.C. As a guide for spy tours, Rosanna has led countless visitors on an immersive journey through the secret world of spies, sharing fascinating stories and little-known facts along the way. Today, she's here to give us a glimpse into that world and share some of her own experiences and insights. So without further ado, let's get started!
Yay!
Hello!
Hi! It's so nice to have you on today.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
Of course.
Yes. I am so excited to get right into the questions, honestly. Like, I have been we talk off mic about this.
Yes.
But I'm excited to share these stories with you guys today.
Yeah.
So first off, I have to ask, what inspired you to pursue a career in the CIA? And what was your journey like in becoming an agent?
Yeah, so good question. So I am born and raised in Washington, D.C. So it's a very international city. So a lot of my friends grew up overseas. You know, and they would talk about turning seven in some far off place. So I was always drawn to the travel, the adventure of travel. And then after high school, I spent a year in France. It was a College Board program, and I lived there as a student for a year, and I loved it. I loved being an expat. So it wasn't just about travel, but about living in a place that's unfamiliar. So that's really what inspired me or drew me to a life overseas, living overseas. And then in terms of the journey, it was very much like any job applicant. I submitted an application for the Directorate of Operations. And I got a nice note back saying, thanks for your interest, but we don't have a need for your skill set at the moment, but we'll keep your resume on hand. And then 9/11 happened. And within weeks, they did. They kept my resume on hand. And they called. And by that time, I had moved back to D.C. I had been in St. Louis where I went to school. And so I was nearby, went through the interviews, the battery of psychological testing, and I got an offer contingent on being able to get the security clearances. So once that happened, I started working, and then there's a 3-year probationary period. So I spent a year learning the ropes at headquarters, what the different officers do, what the different roles and responsibilities were. And then I went through field training, and then I deployed. We're not a military organization, but then I moved overseas.
Yeah.
So it's a pipeline. It's a pipeline into a career in operations. So that was my journey. Yeah, and I loved it. Yeah, so... So, yeah, so it was good.
That is wild.
I can't
Could
even
you
imagine.
Like, tell people throughout the process, like, what you were doing? Or is it, like, everything about it was, like, secretive? You know, like, I feel like there's so much, like, things that are around it that can be, like, you can't say things. Like, could you, like, because I feel like with my day at the end of the day, I'm always like, oh, Shannon, like, I'm doing this today, or I'm doing that for work, or whatever. Like, was there a lot of things you just couldn't say, even throughout, like, you know, like, learning?
Yeah, there were. And I didn't want to. No, it wasn't you know, you are prohibited from saying X, Y, and Z. Yes. I mean, they're very clear. It's sort of like in the business world signing an NDA. But I also just didn't want to complicate my friendships and my relationships with something like applying to the CIA.
Yeah, fair.
No, absolutely.
That's honestly so cool to be totally honest. I can't even imagine though, like you mentioned earlier, the amount of like rounds you also had to go through, like the psychological test. Like I feel like every job should do that though.
You know what? Honestly, I think that's a fair assessment.
I think it's a fair assessment. But I can't imagine. Like I complain about the job like process, but I can't even imagine the level of difficulty you had to go through in order to even get that job. You know, like that's really impressive in itself.
It's unique because you're being interviewed and you're being trained by your colleagues, your future colleagues, if that makes sense. So these are people who are evaluating you for, you know, your trustworthiness, your ability to do the job the way they've done the job. So that's a little bit different than what you encounter in the private sector.
No, absolutely. And I know that, like, we discussed a little bit, but I know, like, the work of the CIA often takes place in, like, secrecy, and many people may not, like, fully understand what the agency does. Can you just share with us some of the tasks and responsibilities you had while working for the CIA?
Sure. So in the Directorate of Operations, we are responsible for human sources. So the cycle is our responsibilities are to spot, assess, develop, recruit, handle and terminate human sources. Terminate sounds very harsh, but the language just means that we're responsible. When the time comes, we're responsible for ending the relationship. So we do that in a firm, friendly, and final way. It's not it's not more dramatic than that. We want to have good relationships. Positive relationship.
Of course.
So that's what we do. And it's simplistic.
So no ghosting. That's what it sounds like. Is that that's right.
It is a little, that's funny. It is a little bit like dating. You know, we spend a lot of time with people, building relationships, getting to know who they are, where they come from, what experiences have molded their worldview and mindset, and you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I spent a lot of time out and about meeting people and getting to know them and understanding them. So we collect intelligence for decision makers to give the U.S. decision-making advantage. So a lot is done in the shadows because we take our responsibilities to those people very seriously. And that responsibility is to keep them safe. So, yes, a lot happens in the shadows, but it's familiar to everyone. Building relationships, meeting people, building relationships, and understanding where there's a match.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
No, it does,
As you're mentioning safety before, like with the rise of new threats such as like cyber terrorism and like international espionage, how do you see the role of the CIA evolving in the years to come? And what skills and qualities do you think will be most important for future agents to have?
Okay, good question. So I think the CIA's North Star to collect that information that nobody else can get that informs decision making is very flexible. Like that can be a North Star in a variety of different eras. So I think that is going to stay the same. And like anything, like anybody's challenged, the agency will have to up their game with cyber. There are some amazing people who work at the agency, some of the most brilliant minds that I've come across. So in terms of qualities, they have to remain true also to those basic qualities, right? Excellent judgment, high integrity, and a dedication to mission. You have to be able to trust that people are being, are doing what they say they're doing, and that they are not out of bounds, and that everything is going according to plan. And if it's not going according to plan, that people are honest about that. So a lot of the same qualities that have been there since the beginning, but and that are adaptable to these new environments. But yeah, everybody's going to have to up their game, I think, with the new geopolitical realities and threats.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. That's like, I think, the one of the scariest things about just like online and the web, just like the access to so many things, but also the vulnerability it also probably has in general. You know what I mean? The access that other people can have from it. So it's like kind of interesting how like fast it's evolved, but also how I'm assuming the CIA also has to evolve with that to like kind of understand, like, okay, like, these are these new things that we have to learn in such a fast-paced time that, like, you know, I don't think everyone has access to understand it as well, like, the depth of it, you know, which is very, very fascinating, you know? I feel like the kind of steps that probably CIA agents have to kind of evolve themselves constantly.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't even imagine, like, I mean, even as, like, someone who, like, uses all these apps and whatever, like, I do get a little worried, like, with all, like, the extra, like, with, like, making sure my password isn't the same all around. Like that, I know, sounds so silly, but it's just like, you know, revisiting certain things, like your online presence is such a, you know, a gateway to so many different things, you know, but it's good to hear how many brilliant minds are obviously in this organization, like in the government, that are like able to protect us or try to preemptively find ways to, like, you know,
make sure that, you know, the information is as safe as it can be.
Yeah,
it's understood, you know, I get that.
And it's also helpful to think about the difference between private information and classified information. Now, if somebody knows a lot about you, that's okay. That's fine. That's not classified information. So if you can be turned because somebody knows what your favorite TV shows are, then there's a different problem, right? And, you know, if someone can convince you to give classified information because they know what your favorite pizza restaurant is, you know, that's different. Like, it's okay for people to know what your favorite pizza restaurant is.
That's fair.
Unless it's like a secret hidden gem spot and like everyone's going and then I can't get my slice of pizza. Then it's a problem. then I'm upset. That is technically classified information in my life.
It's like, no one can know my spots.
No one's allowed to know my spots, because if it gets too popular, I don't want to wait on lines. So be careful what you share.
Actually, I am curious, though, what are things that, like, you know, get people, and I know terminated is a very aggressive word, but, like, what are the moments where you're like, okay, like, this is where we end the relationship? Because I know you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I was kind of curious about that.
Yeah, so that's something that either party can decide, really. You know, it could be that someone has just decided that they're done with this, they're retiring, they're moving, and that's the end of it. For, you know, there are variety. So that's same on the government side, or perhaps if there's a suspicion that somebody has gone bad, and is, you know, maybe peddling information to multiple different services, and we don't want to work with a person anymore, then it's time for it to come to an end.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
It does sound like dating.
Yeah, it is. Firm, friendly,
dating
and final.
Dating analogy?
Yeah, it does.
That should be on any dating profile. I'm
going to add that now on my profile.
Yeah, you should. That'd be so funny.
I'm
going to
make that my thing.
Oh, my God, I love that. But actually, I'm really curious. Like, what inspired you to become a spy guide? I know that's something that you do today. And how did you develop your knowledge of the history and culture of espionage in Washington, D.C.?
Okay, great. So when I left the agency in 2017, I got my tour guide license. There's a great guiding community here in DC. It's so generous with its expertise and its business. It's just a really nice community. And we're a destination for eighth graders from mid-March to mid-June to just come and do their highlights, you know?
Yeah.
So I started doing highlights tours. And then someone said, you know, with your background, you should consider doing a specialty tour. And so I did. I started doing spy tours. And that's really, except for a few clients, that's really what I do exclusively. So there are books, a lot of reading on spy sites, reading from just stories, case histories, lots and lots of reading. Then curiosity. So investigating the world around me and the world that I walk through and the world that's on the routes. And then talking to people, you know, talking to other former intelligence officers and hearing their stories. And they knew these cases or they knew the people involved. Mm-hmm. And so it's a combination. My knowledge was grown organically in that way, too. Yeah,
that's so. We actually did that
in eighth grade.
Oh yeah,
we totally did that.
Yeah. But it was honestly such a great trip, though. It was the biggest trip our school actually did, and it was so much fun.
It was
like an overnight stay.
Yeah, it's a great trip.
Big deal for us.
Yeah, it is.
Especially because in eighth grade, we're learning a lot. I mean, we're always learning about American history, but there was a lot about, like, you know, I mean, there's so much surrounding D.C., like you mentioned earlier. But it was really cool to really walk around and see some amazing sites that has a lot of history and culture in the background of, like, our own country, which is so – it makes you really proud, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when you're walking around. In eighth grade, you really can't appreciate it. But as an adult, like, now, like, I'm going to be – you know, in eighth grade, you're just happy to be out.
Yeah, yeah. You're with your friends.
You're just happy to be out of the classroom.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you're excited to be out having a good time. And, like, you know, you're – I'm actually – I will say, though.
Yes.
We're pretty, like, nerdy. And, like, I actually did listen to the tour guides. Like, I was the front and center. Like, cool.
Like, I was like, I love
this. I enjoyed the tours thoroughly. Yeah. Like, that was me. And my friends are taking selfies.
I remember the one thing on our little tour that we had. Because I remember being so proud that I found it. It was something –
oh, yeah.
And I'm like, a little mad that I can't remember the name of it. But I remember there was, like, a symbol or something on one of the monuments that they were like, if you can find this, like, you know, like, let us know or something. Like, and as we walked through, we found it. I forgot what it was.
Kilroy.
I
maybe
it was, like, some sort of —
was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That Kilroy was here at the World War II.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I remember, like, you had to, like, find it. And I remember being the one who found it. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So I remember that was being a highlight for me.
Those were, honestly, it's a great trip, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, actually, on our tours, we do we talk about impersonal communications and how it's a dangerous job. So you can't always meet your sources in person. So we have chalk marks all around DC, and I have guests sort of look at them. We talk about how a signal, what are the qualities of a signal, and there's one in this vicinity. Can you find it? That's a lot of fun. That resonates with the crowd a lot, because it's one thing to read about it. It's one thing to see in TV and movies, but it's another to actually see it and do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, being involved, I feel like it gets you more, like, obviously, even as a child, that is in person, you know, I really loved it. And I feel like it kind of gets you more involved, you know, like, you have this sort of, like, you can listen, but when it's like, hey, like, pay attention or do this and this, you have more of this, like, you know, especially I think for younger people. I mean, even for today, it helps. I'm not saying it doesn't.
I personally think we're the target audience. Like, if you told me, like, it's like, it feels like a Clue game, you know?
Yeah.
Like, trying to find the missing piece, or, like, you know, like, or puzzle piecing a cool case together, or finding something, like, that kind of thing is so fun. Especially, I mean, we've done different types of tours, and I will say my favorite kinds are the ones you're describing, where it's, like, interactive, and, like, you have such history behind it. It's not just, like — because I love a good history lesson, but it's really cool, someone like yourself with such an amazing background, to hone in on something that's, like, you know, when you hear the CIA, you know, like, their secrets.
Like, so you get this, like, little bit of excitement.
You get it. Yeah. You get excitement to be, like, you know, kind of in on it in its own way. Or, like, at least you open the door a little bit and invite people to understand exactly what you kind of do. Not spoiling too much, obviously. Yes, you can't do that.
Right, right.
But it's still fun to, like, you know,
have this sort of, learn. Like, feel for it, which is fun.
And I have to ask, though, since, like, obviously, I'm sure you have lots of stories through your tour. What are some of the most fascinating and little-known stories you share with your visitors on your spy tours? And what do you hope people take away from their experience with you?
So one of my favorite stories is on the Embassy Row tour. We talk about the anarchist attacks of 1919, which does sound very historical and not relatable, but it's a great story. And we go to where there was a failed parcel bomb attempt. And the bomb went off early. And so the neighbors across the street felt the bomb. And the neighbors, one of the neighbors was FDR. So Franklin D. Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt were across the street when this bomb went off. And as a result of the bombings, there was a new office set up at the Bureau of Investigation, which is the parent organization to the FBI. And J. Edgar Hoover was put in charge of that new office. So his career was kickstarted, and he went on to be a very controversial head of the FBI. So I think of this as one of those events that it's like The Man in the High Castle or For All Mankind. You know, like if history had, if it had played out differently, history might have been altered. Mm-hmm. You know, if FDR had been killed or if another agent had been put in charge instead of J. Edgar Hoover, you know, things could have really happened differently. And in 1919, life was very different than it is today, right? But there were economic pressures, high unemployment, but there was also a pandemic going on with the Spanish flu. Mm-hmm. So I think I certainly have a new appreciation for the level of crazy that goes into the decision to try and blow someone up because of fear of a red tide coming, red wave. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's one of my favorites. On the Georgetown tour, we go and see where Roald Dahl lived. He's a well-known children's author. So many people recognize him from James and the Giant Peach or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, particularly younger guests, you know, the sort of 9 to 13-year-olds. And so that's really a fun trivia bit that he had a background in intelligence, particularly for younger guests, you know, because I want people to leave with an appreciation for the job and the danger of the job and some exposure to the mindset. There are a lot of guests who want to go into public service. So I love to encourage that also. So I'm happy to answer questions and share my story and encouragement. So I really enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy it probably more than the guests do because so many come with their own knowledge, you know, their own knowledge. So I learn along the way too. So I'm out and about meeting interesting people. You know, what's not to like about that? It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
That's so cool. Is there any guest story like that stands out to you that like you mentioned that you learn something from guests sometimes? Is there a story that stands out to you where like, I did not know that? Or like, that's a really cool fun fact.
Yeah. There was one guest from somewhere in Latin America. I can't remember where, but we were talking about the assassination of Orlando Letelier and Augusto Pinochet, the human rights abuser who was the president of Chile. And she said after someone's president, they're sort of a senator for life. So they have a type of immunity. And she said for there to have been any steps towards prosecuting him for human rights abuses would have been humiliating to someone who had been in this position and had this honorary position for life and sort of immunity. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a really interesting perspective that I certainly hadn't considered. And it was great for the whole group to hear that. Yeah.
I wish I could have a cool story.
Yeah. There was another guest really cool. who had spoken to a political prisoner who was a political prisoner in Chile at the time and shared with us their conversation. So really interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I love that you open up the conversation to also your guests. Like, you know, like they're learning from you, but like you also get the exchange in its own way through conversation like that. That's a really fun tour, you know? I would just sit with the popcorn and hearing everybody. I don't have any stories. But that just sounds so cool.
Yeah, there are people who would otherwise, you know, never meet or talk or share an experience, except for that they're drawn to the tour. And some people aren't at all drawn to the tour, but they're gifting it to a loved one who really is drawn to the tour.
That's so cute.
So the subject matter. So it's always, always an interesting, fun crowd.
Oh, I love that. That's so exciting. Cool. That's so cool.
Honestly, I love that. And it is, honestly, I think it should be, it's a great gift to give someone, especially if that's the sort of things you like learning and history and culture. And I think it's like, it's this great opportunity to get you as a tour guide since you have such knowledge, which I think is so valuable to have.
And what's cool is like your tour is so like, it's so unique compared to anywhere else you can go for this type of tour, because it's perfect for Washington, D.C. It's like if you go to D.C., it's like such a unique experience because it's perfect for that location. You know what I mean? Like you can do so many, and there's no shade to tours. I love tours. But like there's all types of tours that kind of have the same formula. Mm-hmm. But this kind of experience is so different, but still stays true to what Washington, D.C. really represents that I love that kind of experience. Yeah. Like, so you're It's such a gift, but it's also such an experience for anyone who can do something like that. Like that's really cool. Like I mean,
that's
love
why
that.
Like when we were doing our research, when we found you, we were very excited. Like, she's got something.
I know. I mean, I told you on the phone. I was like telling my friends, like, we're interviewing a CIA agent. I'm retired, but I was like, it's still really cool, the stories that you have and the things that you shared with us. Like it's so interesting and fascinating, and I'm like excited, like, you know, to come to Washington, D.C. And do a tour like yours. Great. Or even do your tour.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I look forward to having you on tour sometime. That would be great.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I will.
We'll have so much fun.
We haven't been since eighth grade.
I know. What? We gotta come back.
Yeah.
I know.
And it's so
I
close,
I haven't
too.
Been.
That's okay. I never get up to New York either.
We have no excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we'll come to D.C., you come to New York.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll show you.
Yes.
And finally, can you share with our listeners what you're currently working on and any upcoming tours that you're excited about?
Okay, yes. So we are expanding our roster of hosts so that we can offer the Capitol Hill tour and the Arlington National Cemetery tour on a more regular basis. So right now, Embassy Row tour and Georgetown tour run every Sunday, and there's a lot of interest for those two tours, but we need more talent so that those other tours can run as well. And we're also expanding to New York and Miami.
Yay!
So I have some formers who are interested in running tours in New York and Miami. And developing those tours too. So beyond tours, we're really pivoting towards events. So we have events coming up in Dallas in September, where we are putting on the spy games for a conference that's bringing former intelligence and law enforcement officers together to talk about soft skills. Those people skills that intelligence officers use on a daily basis. So our segment is going to be this interactive role-playing scenario-based sort of life problem game. So players will get some instruction on these soft skills and then have to navigate the scenario to carry out their mission. So we're very excited about that.
So cool.
Please, if you're interested in tickets, visit Sector Intelligence. And I'm also looking for sponsors for the games. So anyone who's interested in sponsoring should reach out to me directly. But we've got a creative genius on board, and we're going to have a lot of fun in Dallas. I'm not sure that I'm going to unleash the whole conference onto the streets of Dallas, but some, the VIPs will get to go out on the streets and do their mission. So that's fun. That's something that is in response to clients who are looking for team building and engagement, corporate clients. So we're trying to be responsive to that demand.
Oh, that's awesome.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, and we'll make sure on this episode we have on our website, thevogeltwins.com, to link everything you're mentioning. So anybody who wants to book your tours or book a really cool, like, that amazing mission, events, like, we'll make sure to put it all on our website so you guys definitely can check it out if you want to book through her. That would be amazing.
And if you want to contact her directly for sponsorships, again, we'll leave everything on our website to connect that way.
You just be there.
Yeah, so you can join her.
Yes.
And her amazing team. That's what it sounds like. The creative geniuses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so much fun. That sounds like such a freaking, it sounds like we're your target audience. I'm really excited even hearing it. Like, I'm going to probably book it after this. Yeah. But honestly, I just want to say thank you so much for being on today. The amazing knowledge, the sharing, the stories. We appreciate it so much for you to, like, share everything with us today. And so excited to, you know, join in one day. I'd love to book a tour of yours and get to meet you and get to really learn even deeper, because we only scratched the surface on this episode today. So definitely check it out.
Thanks. Thanks for reaching out. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about spy tours and to help demystify the profession some and answer your questions. So thanks very much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Look at you. You made it to the end. Now that we have you here, we'd like to do a little shameless plug-in.
Of course.
And encourage you to follow us on all social platforms at The Vogel Twins. If you want to know more about, like, in depth about our travels, definitely check out our website, thevogeltwins.com. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.